Had a good time this morning. Tell you what, let's do something different. Why don't you stand up? Everybody find a partner. We're going to try something different. Find a partner. Just grab you a partner around. Hand out here. And say, was there a point to that? Hallelujah. There was one word that we used more than any other word in the illustration. Partner. Partner. Told you to find a partner, right? So the answer to the illustration is, you just ask them, will you open your fist? See, you're... Somehow we've been taught, though, that you got your fist closed and I want it open, and I'm gonna open it, right? And so what we've got to learn working with people, we're partners. So partner means that if I've got something you need, I open up. And if you have something I need, you open it to me. So we're just working with people in a different way. So I've got a workshop here. Just have numerous workshops we teach out on the road. Love teaching on helps. I just love it. Just enjoy it. And so we have numerous workshops. And so what we're going to do today is typically we'll go over this in about 3 sessions, but we're going to give it to you in 45 minutes today. We've given you some good stuff this morning, and some we're just going to follow up about working. So this is like them, love them, and gotta have them. 3 levels of volunteers. I went to get some ice cream a couple years ago, and there's an ice cream store, and there's 3 sizes. You know, I grew up in the day and age where it was just small, medium, and large. And now people are doing like fancy things, you know, with the titles, you know. And so there's an ice cream store, and they had 3 bowls on the counter. I said, what size do you want? And the small was labeled, like it. If you like it, get the small. And then the next one up, a little bit bigger, was love it. Oh, come on. If you love the ice cream, come on now. And then the last one, come on, was the biggest bowl. And it said, gotta have it. And so in this ice cream store, that's what you do. You say, I'll take some chocolates, and I gotta have it. You're about to get a whole lot of ice cream. Or if you tell them, hey, I want some banana and I like it. Well, we're going to give it to you, but just in a small measure. So I was chewing that over and I thought, there's 3 kinds of volunteers in the church. There's the like them. Come on now. Oh, we're glad that you came. Are you coming to help us? Thank you so much. There's the love them. Oh, we're excited to see you come. Are you helping us? Oh, we're excited. This is going to be a good project. And then, come on now, there's the gotta have them. You know, those kind of people where we will actually change the date of our event if we know you can come. When you're the gotta have them, you're in the beginning stages. Hey, listen, when you're the gotta have them, listen, I'm thinking about doing an event. Could you come? All right, that's when we're going to do it, right? Gotta have them. There's actually, you know, a 4th level of volunteer, but we're just going to make it positive today. We're just going to keep it. So what we're talking about today is working with volunteers. I want to talk about the qualities that we were looking for in the church. Well, we want to help you progress. We'll help you identify who you are today. Where are you? Are you the like them? Man, we're glad. We need you. We're glad. You know, out on the road, I had a pastor tell me a couple years ago, you know, joking about teaching on helps. And he said, for so many in his church, he said, they seem to ask, you know, get involved. You should just be happy I'm even coming. And some of what we're trying to do is just get people. So that's why we teach like we did this morning in the church, you know, on a Sunday morning in a general session. We're trying to rally the troops because what we see in the church is that most of the work is being done by a small percentage of the people. And there's a number of reasons for that. But what we're trying to do is just rally the people around on a Sunday morning. Come on, everybody's got a place. We need you. But then in addition to that, then there's some qualities that we want you to have. Number one, and like them. Number one is being committed to God. This is, for me, this is not an exhaustive list, but this is like the number one quality that I need. Jesus Christ said this in John 6:38. He said, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. He went on to say, whatever the Father says, that's what I say. Whatever the Father does, that's what I do. He said, I haven't come to do my own will. And so the first quality that we're looking for in a volunteer is that you're committed to God. That's ultimately what I need. That's got to be the first foundation. In 2 Corinthians 8, if you have your Bibles, let's look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is talking, and he's about to take up an offering. And he's talking about, now I'm coming next year. We're going to take up an offering. I just wanted to remind you just to make sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. He writes, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring with us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord." And so when he is complimenting this group, he's saying that they, even in the midst of their lack, they came up with a great offering. They did something wonderful. And he said, here's how they did it. Number one, they committed themselves to God. And so the reason why we're doing what we do is because we're being obedient to God. That's why we're doing this. So when you come and work alongside of us, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the head of the church, and he set his will aside to do what the Father wanted. Your pastor has done the same thing. He got training. He's put his will aside, moved away from family, came out here. Why? Because that's what the call of God called them to do. And so it's not unusual for us to ask you to do the same thing, that you're committed to God also. You're just following along in the lines of the people that have gone before you. Because, see, there's going to be an opportunity where you and I, we're working together, are going to disagree. It's going to be somewhere where we're like, wait, what did you do? Why did you do that? And I need to know that we both have a referee in the Word of God. That when you're presented with the Word of God, you're going to say, yeah, I believe the Word of God. That when you present the Word of God to me, here's why we're going to do this, and here's what the Word of God says, I'm able to say, yep, that's why I'm here. I need to know that when we're working together that the Word of God means something to you, because that's what guides our lives. That's what rules our lives. And so there's times where sometimes the Holy Ghost has got to step in and be a referee. He's got to step in and be a mediator. But when we're understanding just the vision and understanding that the vision doesn't originate on the inside of us, it comes from God Almighty. So that's the first quality that we need. Here's what it looks like. It's that you're committed to what God has called you to do. So I had the opportunity in my home church. I wanted to get involved in the youth department. I had been in children's for a year. So I went and filled out an application. And so it's a good-sized church. And they took my application. They said, thank you very much, but we don't need your help. Well, I kind of really wanted to be in there. You know, I just graduated from Bible school a couple years before and wanted to do something different. Well, let's go to the youth department. So I waited about 6 months, and I filled out another application. I said, I don't know if you know who I am, what I can do. I was a young man. I didn't know what I could do either, but I had some stuff on my resume. So this time on my application, I gave them more of the resume. I don't know if you know who I am. I don't know if you know what I can do. This is a... And they looked in and said, thank you. We're not taking anybody right now. Well, of all the nerve, what are these people doing? So 6 months later, come on, now I filled out another application. And I was finally accepted. So they called me up on the 15th of September, 1993. It was a Wednesday. And so when I started that Saturday morning at 18th, but now what had happened during that year while I was waiting to get in, the Holy Ghost started working on me. And so when I came that morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, my heart, my attitude were ready, and I had purpose in my heart, I will be here every time we have a youth service, every time we have a youth event, I am here to serve. I am here to help. How can I help you? And so I stayed there and helped them for 11 years. After a year and a half, the novelty kind of wears off. I don't know how long it is for you, but for me, by personality, a year and a half, love it. And then after that, we're running into people, right? And at that point, if we don't develop people skills, then we throw those phrases out in the church. The grace is lifted. I think God's calling us on somewhere. No, we just couldn't get along with people, really. But But see, what I went back to is that I did not commit myself to a man. Come on now. Firstly, I committed myself to God. That's why I was there. Now, what he asked me to do, you're committed to me? Wonderful. I want you to serve that man. So I served them. But first, though, see, I wasn't committed to the man. I was committed to God. He's the one that told me, be there every time they have a service. We had a group of about 50 leaders, and like 2 years in, we had a meeting. There's an event coming up in 2 days, and the leaders went through every single person. Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? And so they got to me, and they said, are you? We know you're coming. You come to everything we have. Oh, I was so excited, because see, that's what the Holy Ghost had told me. I had that record of being faithful. Why did I do that? I was committed to God. See, at some point, something's going to happen. You might be passed over. It may go a different direction than what you thought. And it's at that point where too many Christians are involved. Well, I'll come help you as long as you're going to help me develop. I'll come help you as long as you promote me. He did not call you. He did not equip you. He's not the one who has to promote you. See, if you're committed to a man, you'll be looking to the man to promote you. Man, I've been there. I've been passed over. Those are tough times. I've been there where the whole group comes up to you and says, you should have got that job. Why did they not give it to you? No. It's strong on my heart. Nope, that's not what the equipper, the caller, the anointer, he didn't call me to do that. And so we've got to remind ourselves, I'm committed to God. I'm coming here because God told me to. I'm not committed because of what the man said. Therefore, when the man says something different, I don't have to worry. Well, do I need to quit? Do I need to quit coming? I wasn't committed to him in the first place. Yeah, that's good. He called me to come alongside and to support and to help. God is the promoter. So the number one quality, we like it when you're committed to God. Love it. Number two quality, faithfulness. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said this. Said, I thank my God that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul's stressing here, it was faithfulness. That's how I got promoted. He was called, he was anointed, but there was a faithfulness that he showed. He went on to say in 1 Corinthians 4, he said, whereof it is required that a man be found faithful. So we need you to be faithful. We need you to come. Actually, another verse, I don't have it written on here, but another verse in Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. What a descriptive picture. You got a foot out of joint. Can you run? Can you walk? Can you function? The whole body shuts down. Years ago, I had a wisdom teeth coming in, and it was pushing on a cavity. I could not see straight, could not work. I mean, I just had to quit the job, go to the dentist, and he can't see you for 2 hours. I was like, that's okay, I'm waiting right here till he can see me. It's a broken tooth, you know, it's a problem with that. The Bible says that when you confidence in an unfaithful man, it affects the whole thing. You want to know what the definition of faithfulness is? Show up. That's over half the battle of faithfulness. So we need you to come. We need you to be here. Faithfulness, this is the place of promotion. Faithfulness starts with a decision. You had to decide beforehand. There was a decision that you made. If there's anything in your life that you're faithful to, you made a decision. You did not just happen to walk into it. Somewhere you made the decision. If you're going to decide on Saturday night or Sunday morning if you're going to go to church that week, guess who's not coming? I'll wait till I see you on Sunday morning how I feel. Then we feel good. I think we'll go to church. You're not coming. Things I've been faithful to in my life, I determined. I said, I will be there. I will go. My church has services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I just had to make the decision. I will be there. That's what God impressed me to do. But there's something about faithfulness. You're faithful to what God called you to do. Faithful to do what you've committed. See, remember, point number one, I committed myself to God. And number two means that I keep doing what I committed to do. This is the place of promotion right here. This is where it happens. In my home church, we have a service on Sunday nights on Easter Sunday. That's when you get ahead. You just keep showing up, and you keep showing up. See, there's dreams, there's visions in the heart of the pastor. There's things that they see that they want to walk out. There's things that they have yet to see. But what we need is a group of people that we can count on just to come to show up even on Sundays. That's right. So these two qualities here, we like it when you got these two qualities. You're faithful, and you're committed to God. We like you. We can work with you. Then the next group here, love them. Number three, give your best. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 and 23 and 24. Let me read these for you. Love these verses. Personally, these verses just take me back to a time. I worked at the ministry. I told you I worked behind the scenes. I started on grounds. Started cutting the grass. At this particular church, they would read the Bible every single morning with our groups. It's broken into many groups through the ministry. And so when I was down in the warehouse, my end of the warehouse, we had probably had about 20, 25 guys each morning. So we just read for 15 minutes, and then you start work. We had the NIV Daily Bible, and we were reading a verse here. Colossians 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Paul reiterates it, everything you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. And I still remember the day I was sitting there reading this. Called to the ministry. I could see myself teaching. But on this particular morning, it's like I had a little mini vision flash before me. And I saw this trailer. I knew exactly what trailer it was. There at the ministry, you've got a big church building. Housekeeping staff pick up all the bags of trash, put it in this trailer. That trailer flashed before me when I'm reading the Word of God. There was a daycare with this church. This trailer affectionately became known as the diaper trailer. So the concept is housekeeping staff fills it up, ground staff empties it. We didn't want anything to do with this trailer. This was a bad job. You're getting an idea. I like to organize. I like numbers. One time I emptied this out. I counted over 140 bags of trash. So I told you a little bit about the Oklahoma summers. Can you picture a trailer with the roof, with the door, trash just sitting there day after day after day? Now, we're all called to the ministry. We're all Bible school graduates, and nobody in their right mind wants anything to do with this trailer. And I'm reading this verse, whatever you do, oh God, you call me to the ministry, Jesus, we love you, we'll go anywhere, we'll do anything that you want us to do, right? We've got a dream, we've got a vision, I want to do something great for God. And he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And the diaper trailer flashed before me. Not so, God. I rebuke you, get thee behind me, Satan. No, you got to be kidding me. The diaper trailer. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you serve you receive the reward of the inheritance. You serve the Lord Christ. So that morning, a purpose in my heart. Remember, faithfulness is a decision. I made a decision that morning. We had two crews on the grounds department. And they would alternate. One team empties it 1 week, next team the next week. So I purpose in my heart right there, the team that I was on, I purpose in my heart, they will never call to say the job was not done. The week that the team I'm a part of, our week. I'm setting it forth right here and now. So I go out there and empty it out. You know, it's full. I come back the next morning. I wish I could tell you, you know, when you make the commitment in your heart to just be obedient to God and whatever, I wish I could tell you, man, it's just you wake up in the morning and the birds are singing and the sun is shining and you're just excited. Man, I went back the next day and it came back to me in a prayer reading. Now, remember, you said you'd empty that every day. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. And what I heard back was my own words saying, they will never call to say the job was not done. I was like, I know that voice. That was my voice. Oh, did I really commit to that? What? And it's at that point where so many Christians are like, I'm called to the ministry. What in the world? I'm not doing this. So I went back out there, emptied it out again. Went back out there, emptied it out the next day. I come back, you know, I've got a week off, right? I don't have to do it this week. This is good. Following Monday comes around, I go in there, and don't you know, those jokers never emptied it the entire week before. It's full. I've got to do somebody else's job. Listen, when you sign up to give your best in the kingdom of God, I can't promise you that. It doesn't mean everybody else is supposed to do that. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do. But that's when we complain and we try to push everybody. Everybody's got to do that. Everybody's got to do the trailer. God told me so. No, no, no. That's what God told you to do. So I'm kind of mumbling and grumbling. Well, here we go. I emptied it out. Well, after a couple of days, the Holy Ghost gives me a good idea. If you'll empty this out every day, first thing in the morning, the job is the easiest. Now you're speaking my language. See, you get your heart right, the Holy Ghost is going to begin to show you ways, ideas, tips about the job. I get there first thing in the morning, handful of bags, throw it out, empty, it's quick, it's easy. And then at one point the Holy Ghost shows me, why don't you work on your skills of backing in a single axle trailer. All right, you're talking my language. I'm just going to keep improving, keep working whatever I can do. Maybe someday I'm going to have a boat. And I'll be backing that boat down into the water. I don't know. And I'll be so grateful to the Holy Ghost for helping me. I'll be backing that, come on now, I'll be backing that, I don't know, backing that trailer down into the water. I say, oh, thank God for the diaper trailer. So I attacked that job. A few months later, they wanted to promote somebody off of grounds. Guess who was promoted? Hallelujah, there is a God. About a month or two later, after I got promoted, you know, because I sat back and watched, who is going to take up the mantle of the diaper trailer? Who is going to grab this? Well, the head of the warehouse saw fit to completely get rid of the diaper trailer, put a dumpster in there, contracted out with Waste Management to have them just come and empty the thing out. I said to myself, you got to be kidding me. Where was this a year ago? Hello? But the Holy Ghost was showing me, no, 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 that was your vehicle for promotion. And what has happened is that the guys that have followed you, they lost out on that way to be promoted. They'll have to find another way. See, you give your best in the kingdom of God. I'm not looking for you to come in and just do the high profile and just do, well, whatever's great, what's really good. How do I get my name in the bulletin? That's the job that I want. The Spirit of God is asking you, whatever job is right in front of you, will you give it your best? Will you do it heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that my faithfulness in this spot, faithfulness to the one who promoted, he is going to be the one who promotes me. And so, and if you've seen anybody successful in the ministry, you'll see also someone who is faithful to do what was in front of them. What I want to ask you today is, what's in front of you? See, we overlook, well, here's this one job. Right? We get inspired after a Sunday like this. Pastor, how can we help you? What can I do? And he's like, actually, what I have is not a great job. And we're like, yeah, that doesn't sound good. Pastor, you call me if you get something really great. That's what I want to do. No, you learn how to put honor onto a job no one else values. You and the Holy Ghost put honor to what you're doing. You jump in there and you just create a sense of honor. I'm giving it my best. Whenever they moved me out of grounds, they put me on like the setup crew. We would just set things up. We didn't know what to call ourselves, you know? Setting up tables and chairs, and we're doing our best. So when I started there on the crew, setups was simply out of the tool crib, and it was just a pad of paper. If you go out to do a job, write down on the pad of paper how long it took in 15-minute increments. When I came along, nobody really liked doing these jobs. We worked for every other department in the ministry. Communion Sunday came around, we'd go set up communion. Somebody gets a new office, we go move their stuff in. Have a luncheon for 500 people, set up the tables and chairs. Every wedding, we'd go in and set it up. We'd have a hallelujah party, you know, like in every October, we'd go set that up. Basketball games, volleyball games, funerals, whatever was going on in the church, we were there to set it up. Had a women's event, a men's event, we would hang the signs, we would just do our best. Sometimes we'd have to go to children's, and children's always had all kinds of odd jobs for us to do. I need you to move this entire classroom, change it around, and put it all down here, and move this one. So nobody on the team, when I came along, they didn't really like this stuff, didn't really enjoy this stuff, but I gave it my best. And so when I learned how to just not just try to do the minimum, we would finish up the job. And typically, the crew before me, they would just kind of wouldn't even finish the job. Just kind of do it half-hearted, halfway, and then just after lunch, just wouldn't show up and just somehow hope the rest of the job got done. And I learned, I'm going to go back. I'm going to finish the job. And then once you give me that big job, I'm going to come back and say, what else you got? Is that all you got? We can do more. How else can we help you? So this attitude caught on there at the ministry. So when I left 5 years later, the department now went from a pad of paper. Now we were our own department. Had our own office. 2 computers. Had our own truck. Keys, radio, pagers. I had file cabinets full of documentation. We were giving our best. The one department, you know, they always kind of bristled at our help, you know, because down in the warehouse, we were just a bunch of men who broke stuff and lost stuff. As far as they were concerned, you know, I give it to a man, he's going to come back broken, he's going to come back, you know. And so I just learned to give my best right there. So we worked, had a paper trail, you know, with work orders. And so I kept track of everything. And then I would make notes of what I changed and what I adjusted. How long did it really take? What did we actually do for the job? I kept all that in my file. So then the next year when the department came back and they sent me a whole bunch of work orders, you know. So typically before, this always came with tension on both departments. We got somebody new though. I'm doing this with the attitude I'm giving my best. I'm doing this heartily as unto the Lord. I'm called to the ministry. I'm called to preach. But what's in front of me is to move a bunch of props around. I'm giving my best. So the next year, I started going over the comparing their paperwork, and I noticed they were missing over half of the paperwork. So I know in my organizing mind, plan of mind, we're still probably going to have to do all this. But if I can get information ahead of time, I can do the job well. So I called this gentleman up on the phone. I said, hey, I was going through the paperwork. And you can hear the tension in the phone. Yes. He's just waiting for me to say, we're not doing it, you know? That was the history. But I said, now last year we had this, but I didn't see that in paperwork. Yeah, I'm going to need that. Okay, great. And then I also noticed last year you had this. Yeah, he says, I'm going to need that. And now I also noticed last year, and now he's like, okay, hold on, let me get a pen. Hold on a second. The whole relationship changed right there because they realized we were for them. We were given our best. I took a department that was overlooked. Nobody liked it. Nobody wanted it. And we created honor with it. Made it a department. You know who's, guess who's baking us cookies by the end of my time there? Yeah. It didn't start out that way. The Holy Ghost taught us, value what's right in front of you. Giving your best right where you are. Be enthusiastic. Think it through. Prepare. Come on, the kingdom of God deserves our best. If you're working with the children's, it deserves your best. Whether you're working on a curriculum or coming up with crafts, you know. These kids deserve the best that we can put into them. We're not looking for a snack, you know, in the car on the way to church. Oh, I need a snack today. What do I have in the car? You know, we're feeling around, you know. I got some vanilla wafers under here somewhere. That's all I need, you know. Got a little bit left of a 2 liter of some Sprite, a couple weeks old. That'll do, you know. Oh, come on, give it your best. You're cutting the grass. You're doing the bulletin. You're greeting people. It's the same week in, week out, week in, week out. Give your best every single time. So when you show up, people can't tell. You've been doing the job for 2 weeks. You've been doing the job for 10 years. You inspire yourself. Motivate yourself. Give it your best. Number 4, heart to serve. Matthew chapter 20. This is a good story here. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus is working with the disciples. This, to me, is the hallmark of the ministry of helps. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. So the story starts out with the mother, verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, came to Jesus, and knelt down and asked something of Jesus. Verse 21, she asked, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in your kingdom." Now this is just an amazing request to me, you know. That she had the foresight, realizing there's going to be some day you're in the kingdom. And then just, it's so bold. Jesus, when the whole thing comes together and you're in your kingdom, would you put my boys at the right and the left? You can imagine the rest of the disciples' response when they found out. Are you kidding me? Your mother did what? What makes you think? Who do you think? And so then Jesus, before the whole group disbands, you know, they want to crucify these two guys. He gives them new instructions. And he concludes it by saying, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ said, "I didn't come to be served." If anyone had a right to be served, it was the man who created all things by himself with the word of his power. Right? He was the one man that had the right to be served. And yet he himself said, "I came to serve." This is the heart of the volunteer. This is, if there's one thing I want you to catch today, this verse right here, this verse alone will get you through so much. Write this verse down. Memorize this verse. Because if you're ever going to work with people, you've got to talk to yourself and you remind yourself, "I did not come to be served. I am here to serve." This will be the referee. I'm not sure what to do. How do I, where do I fit in? I came to serve. I'm like a professional volunteer, you know. I go all over the country and I volunteer, and I go back to my home church. We just jumped in on a couple of Wednesday nights in children's program. I helped them out with they're packing bags of textbooks. You know, I'm working with 50 volunteers. Last week, I was like an announcer at a basketball game. You know, "Ladies and gentlemen, the starting lineup." I worked at the ministry for 9 years. I volunteered all these years, and I still have to remind myself, I am not here. It's not that I'm wanting to be served. It's just there's times where I'm like, I don't understand what we're doing. I don't know, why would you do? How are we? Are you kidding me? What am I doing? And I've got to talk to myself. Every once in a while, do you ever use your own name when you talk to yourself? I know I mean business when I put David in there. David, you did not come to be served. David, you've come to serve. Yeah. And I talk to myself. You know, I'm in my own corner. That's right. That's right. Because there's opportunities. Even now, I'm telling you, I consider myself a professional volunteer. There's still times I've got to remind myself, I am here to serve. I'm following Jesus. Number five, being connected to the vision. Jesus said this in Luke 4:17. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Jesus continually referred to what God had called him to do. Paul, he said this in Luke 16. He said, be faithful in that which is another man's. Paul said this, and he was recounting the story in Acts. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And so there's a vision that's going on. So when I come in now, when I'm getting involved, I need to be connected to the vision. What are we supposed to do here? There's a bunch of churches out there doing a bunch of different things. And if you're not careful, it's almost like having a hand-me-down store for vision. You know, you ever had those stores, you know, people pass on like a consignment store for clothes. The clothes are in good shape. They're nice. You don't have to pay full price. And sometimes it's like, sometimes churches go to these, like a hand-me-down vision store, you know? They're getting a vision from somebody else. Hey, this church down there, we ought to try it. This church over there did this, we ought to try that. No, what is going on here? So when you come in, I want you to find out, what is the vision here? So many times people come, you know, to a new work like this, and they say, well, Pastor, I've done this before, and I've done that. We ought to start this, we ought to start that. Man, that's wonderful. We're glad that you've got some experience. But really, the first thing we want to know when you come is, can you help us here? Right. What is going on here? So there is a time frame when you first come. And you understand, you come and get involved, and you find out part of the vision of what we do here is how we do it. Part of the vision of what we do here is, what are the type of services? What goes on in the services? What's the dress code? What's the attendance? And so I want you to be connected to the vision here. How do we do things here? When your scrapbook is bigger than your playbook, you're no longer useful to the organization. What's your scrapbook? Oh, it's the clippings, it's the newspaper articles. Here's what I've done. Let me tell you what I did. I did this one time, I did that one time, I did this one time. When your scrapbook is bigger than your playbook, what's your playbook? It's what you're doing right now. So when you come into a new church, I want you to get this vision. Pastor, how can I help you? Oh, that phrase right there is gold in the ears of the pastor. Pastor, how can I help you? I can tell you story after story, volunteering with people. Literally volunteering with hundreds of people. There are those that showed up saying, well, let me tell you what I've done before. Let me tell you what I can do. Here's what I'm going to do for you. You know, almost like a car salesman. My experience is that guy does not last. Usually has an ulterior motive, sees himself. He's there for him. But I've had talented, capable people show up and say, Pastor, how can I help you? I volunteered with those people for years. They're still there 5 years later, 7 years later, 10 years later. They're connected to the vision. So part of being connected to the vision, we need to hear your story. Being connected to the vision. Jesus kept reminding us, this is what the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. The Apostle Paul said this. I'm sure you've heard of the grace that is given to me as an apostle. There's a message I've been given. They kept talking, they kept referring to, here's what God's called us to do. Here's who I am. So what I want to hear from you is being connected to the vision. What's your story? We need to hear your story. How did you get born again? If I'm going to come and work with you, at some point, because you're different than me, I'm going to be looking at you like, what? What are you thinking? I need to know your story. How did you get born again? I think we don't revisit that enough. Man, I need to hear. Even if you got born again a long time ago, I need to hear about what God did for you, the difference that he's made in your life, how much he means to you. Right? See, you meet me today and you might think, oh, I don't know, that guy's a little different. Yeah, but you should have seen me 10 years ago. You know, I'm a lot further along now. You need to know my story. You need to know the story about me. I think it's helpful for you to understand that when I'm up here teaching, I've been there where I was cutting the grass. I've been there working behind the scenes. And so I value this. I love what I'm doing now. I've been traveling for 11 years. We go all over the country, you know. People ask me, what is life like as a traveling minister? I say, it's public restrooms and fast food restaurants, you know? There's nothing glamorous to this. But we get up in front, and then you begin to use your talent, that anointing. You walk in that anointing, and we think to ourselves, oh, it was worth it. A couple weeks ago, can I tell your story just very quick? Erica flew down, so I drove down to Florida, and then Erica flew down then after work. So, you know, I kind of needed a little bit later flight, you know, coming out of Tulsa, flying to New York. And at one point in the middle of the flights, going from one airport to the next, it just looked touch and go, you know, for both of us. Man, I think she's going to get the flight. Man, she's, one was delayed, and she was only coming down for a couple of days. So we didn't really have time for her to have to spend the night in Atlanta and come in the next day. You know, we had an event the next day. And man, it was just tough. It was just some pressure was coming to us. And then we ministered to the singles that one day. And we just poured our hearts out to them, and they just soaked it up. And at the end, one lady came up to us, and just with tears in her eyes, she said, this was just what I needed. I prayed today, God, give me a word. Send me this. This, you were an answer to prayer. We think nothing of the airport, right? We do it again. Right? See, you guys need to know this. We need to know his story. How did he get the call? How did that come to him? We got to hear it. If you find somebody that you're having a hard time, kind of, you're not understanding, not getting along with them, take them out to lunch. Ask them their story. You need to find out their story. How did you get born again? What has God done for you? And then when you come and you're volunteering, we need to hear, too, how excited you are that you're committed to God. Man, I love working with the children's. I love being a part of this team, part of that team. We need to hear that. I need to hear you keep talking about that, because there's going to come a day where I'm a little, maybe I'm a little tired or something, and I'm coming into church, and then there you are. Man, I'm so excited. Another day I get to be in with the kids. Come on, that's going to rub off on me, and it's going to remind me, yeah, I'm excited. I'm grateful too. Yes. And then there's going to be a day where I'm telling you, man, I'm excited. Come on, it's so good to see you, and you're going to need that. We're connected to the vision, and we're talking about it. Keep telling yourself how much you love it. There's a restaurant, much more prominent in the Southeast, and it's a fast food restaurant, but they're really known for the people skills and the employees. They go through extensive training. And so now I was at a businessman's meeting a couple months ago, and the manager of just a local store there in Tulsa told us, he said that they train all their employees to respond to everything by saying, my pleasure. Thank you for doing this. And they'll respond to you, my pleasure. Can you do this for me? And they always respond, my pleasure. He said, it's something interesting, though. He said, not only does the customer hear my pleasure, he said, but I've trained my employees now, and they are constantly saying, my pleasure. He said, they are speaking to themselves. They're talking a positive attitude to themselves, and they're reminding themselves all the time, I like doing this. We got to keep hearing that. Now we're moving on to God, I have them. Two qualities here on God, I have them. I got 5 minutes left here. Number 6, an encourager. We won't look at the verses, but I got the reference here. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 9. So they've got a man there. The Bible talks about how Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of encouragement, said he was such an encourager that they changed his name to son of encouragement. I believe it's in the last verse there of Acts chapter 4. There's a man in there who was such an encourager. He's always encouraging people, always encouraging people. Fast forward a few chapters, a man named Saul is attacking Christians. He sees Jesus in a vision, changes his whole life. Saul realizes, changes his name to Paul, Jesus is the Messiah. He goes into the church, and the church is afraid. Why? Because Saul had been attacking the church, persecuting, imprisoning the people. But it says, if you'll go back and read the story there in Acts chapter 9, Barnabas went and got Paul and brought him into the church. The man that was the encourager. What I need in the church are people who are looking for the gift of God in someone else around. I don't just need you focused on your job, on what you're doing while you're working. What I need, come on, this is the last level. Gotta have them. I gotta have people on my team, not only can do their job, but are looking around saying, hey, by the way, you've got something great. Come with me. Because there's a group of people that come to the church. They don't know if they can do anything. They don't know what they can do. They need us to say, you have something great. And they'll tell you, I do. Yes, that is God. Right. Say, oh, really? Amen. Barnabas went and got Paul, saw the gift, and brought him into the church. Mm-hmm. And come on now, when Barnabas brought him in, guess who's in? Paul is now in with the disciples. What I need is someone who's going to go and find people, find an ability, what we need. Friends of mine, youth pastors down in Florida, starting a youth band. And on a Sunday morning, they just had a bunch of tables set up like this. And saw a little 12-year-old boy just kind of drumming his fingers on the table one morning. My friend's wife went over, saw that, said, hey, what are you doing? The boy stopped. I don't know. She said, are you a drummer? Yes. We need a drummer. Come with me. Gives him a quick 2-minute tryout. There's the drummer for the youth band. Awesome. All right. See, so many times we're praying, God, help me. Help me send somebody. We need those people who are just looking around and see. You got something great. You got something great. You got something great. See the good things. Recognize it and pull it out of people. They need someone who's going to find good on the inside of them. And then the last one, taking it to the next level. Hebrews 11. Did you ever notice in Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith David, by faith Sarah? Did you ever notice that in these stories, the recountings, that they all did something new? Faith, spirit of faith is always going to get you to grow. It wasn't Noah's fifth ark. It wasn't David's third giant. It wasn't Sarah's 10th son. It was her first son. Noah's first ark. David's first giant. Come on, if we're going to get to the next level, I need you to develop your gift. Don't just sit on it where you are. Let's develop it. Let's expand it. Let's grow. People never do an event. When you have an event, they never come back and say, how can we do this even smaller next year? We had 50 kids this year. Next year, let's do 40. Why is that? That's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith says if we got 50 kids next year, we're going for 75, right? Come on. Faith will ask you to do something new. That's right. Faith asks you to do something big. So these are my two qualities. Oh, gotta have it. If you've got, come on now. If you're out there giving your best with people because you committed yourself to God and you're doing what you can and you show up and you're faithful, man, we like you. And then when you add a couple qualities here, when you're giving your best, you got a heart to serve. When you're telling me how much I'm committed to the kingdom of God, God's been so good to me, man, I gotta be around you. I gotta go work with you. And then, come on now, if you're an encourager, if you're grabbing people, I need you on my team. If you got a spirit of faith where you're telling me, come on, what does God have for you? Let's do it bigger. Let's do it better. Qualities, basic qualities here. Like them, love them, gotta have them. Just some basics. So what we wanted to do today was inspire you, encourage you about what you're doing for the kingdom of God.